Hello, welcome to the Small Game. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Street Day. Wait, what's the numbers? 320-something. 330-something, I think. Anyway, doesn't matter. Hello, Twitch chat. What's going on? I'm your host, Rob. And today, thanks very much, Diogen, for resubscribing for 28 months. Big love to you. Hello, everyone in the chat. How you all doing? Today, I am mainly going to be talking to the chat and painting. And I'll be showing you what I'll be painting in a moment. But I have got some, I think, pretty epic news about painting. So I am going to talk about that. I've started out too quick, so I'm going to slow myself down. So that's going to be fun. And we're just going to hang out and paint for a bit, which I'm looking forward to. These are some of my favorite shows, where it's just me, the Twitch chat. We bring up a random topic and we just go for it. Arepa, yeah. So our year, the Stream Streak year is going to be, I think, as of the other day, it was like 40 days. I think we're like 35 days away from a year. So almost a month. We're obviously going to do a massive party. It's a Saturday. It's March the 20th. So we're going to do a huge big birthday party. I might stream all day. We'll get a bunch of guests in. We'll just have a great time. It'll be super fun. So really looking forward to that. Have you got something planned? Yeah, we're gonna do that. I think we might also be doing a like channel rebrand, so we might like do some new artwork and new overlays and other stuff for the start of the new year. So very much looking forward to that. That's in the pipeline, but got loads of stuff on at the moment. New intro music. Okay, what about an intro music playlist? I might make a for Patreon and also in Twitch, I might just like put up like a suggestion box of stuff you'd like to see. I might make a form you guys can fill in, and then you guys can fucking tell me what you want. And then I'll be 4 days from 369. Hawkeye has absolutely got this. We're talking about the paint meta today, of course. Yeah. Now, like, listen. The reason I started the stream streak was because some of us are going to find the lockdown hard. I mean, I found it hard, fucking hell, like super hard. But like also because it's really fun and a bunch of other stuff. And so I don't want a suggestion box. Yeah. March is when we started at MJ Pegasus. I'd have to go back and check. I think we started the stream streak just before the official lockdown in the UK anyway. Anyway, so I don't want to bum anyone out. But I'm going to have to bring something up, and I'm super sorry about that. But I'm going to include in the show notes for this podcast and also in the YouTube video a link to a GoFundMe. Because unfortunately, like I know many of us have been personally affected by COVID. But up in Liverpool, the Just Play guys, their local gaming store, one of their gamers unfortunately passed due to COVID. So that's Dwayne, unfortunately. So loads of love goes out to his family. And I'll include in the show notes a link. Now I know loads of you have been affected personally, there's so many people, you can't help everyone, but like he's got a sister and a mum, and maybe if you donate enough money so they can have a bunch of flowers, that'd be lovely. So I'll include that in the show notes. Sorry to start us off on a downer, again loads of love to Dwayne and his family, and loads of love up to the Just Play guys, and I hope they're all okay. Rubbish. The link is, you guys can go find their Twitter. In fact, actually, I'll link it in the chat right now. Hold on. I'll do that now. I should have prepped this. I did have it. I was just going to put it in the show notes, but let me just put in the link for you guys right now if you guys want. I thought that they'd share it on their Twitter. Hold on. Loads of love their way. Anyway. Hold on. They haven't shared on their Twitter. Oh, let me sort this out. Give me a sec. Sorry, boys. Then I promise we'll get on with some adventure and fun, right? No problem. Loads of love. And now, first question, Twitch chat, while I'm sorting this out. How are you all? Are you well? YouTube guys, can I just say thanks all of you for leaving comments? Massively appreciate that. Super fun. I love seeing them. So that's really lovely of you. There we go. There you go. So if you guys want to like help out their family or something, that would be super lush of you, obviously. Okay, tired, not sleeping. Job PLC, how can you not sleeping? Talk to me about what's going on, baby. Okay, right. Let's get on to some stuff. Okay, big love. Hey, Bobbin, hope you're well. Right, okay. Let me tell you about my life-changing experience yesterday. Life-changing painting experience yesterday. Now, we're all in love with our, is he Italian? Like Antoni Frosrin or whatever his name is. You know the guy. The spray can guy who's like, you want to use, he's talking about using graffiti spray paint instead of using stuff from Halfords or, you know, your local hardware store. Instead of using your local Marco. Thank you, Henry Steele. So instead of, so he was like, go out there, get that. Now, I know Henry, who I spoke to on the show before, is like, he's like, I always like Chaos Black Spray. And that's super fair, like consistent quality and whatever. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to try it. Now, I ordered a can off Amazon. It was like 11 quid. And I was like, fuck, it's the same price, but maybe the quality is better. But like, will I ever fucking know? Yeah, no, hashtag know the name. Yeah, Marco is who it is. Will I ever be able to tell the difference? Jolt, thank you for subscribing. Like, I'll never know the difference, probably, at my level. Henry will know the difference. But, luckily for me, there's a graffiti shop across the road. Yeah, it's a pretty good one. Like, there's a, like, creative quarter just across the road from the studio. And you can, like, phone order through the window. So, like, the guy's inside. And he's got all of the colours under the sun. Like, all of the colours under the sun, as you can imagine, right? What's not, like, so... with spray cans, I tend to find generally you can't gradient, if you know what I mean. It's like, it's grey. I'm like, cool. Is there a different grey? No. But this is like, there are a variety of greys. There are a variety of greens, yellows, reds, and all the other colours. So, yeah. So there was just a huge variety, and I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, that's really cool, actually. So, super good for doing terrain, which obviously I've been 3D printing, which I'm getting ready for the studio. I know you guys have heard me talking about this a lot, and I'm going to show you some of this in a minute. So I went over, yeah, what the fuck is a graffiti shop? Well, a spray paint shop, a shop that sells graffiti spray paint. how long does it take to paint 8 tables full of volcanoes? I wasn't doing a volcano board, but I'm now 100% doing a volcano board only, yeah? anyway, so I went in. So I spoke to the bloke, and he was on the phone to me, and he's like, oh, yeah, like, a lot of people get kind of pissy about the price. Because, you know, people get pissy about the price because obviously, like, these are like really nice cans, the pigment's really nice. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, in my head, I was like, oh, shit, this is like 12, 18 quid. I can't do this. This is way too much money. So then he showed me this can and he's like, will this work? I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay, cool. That's £4. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, £4. I know, like, it's a bit pricey. I was like, are you fucking joking? Like, hey, She Who Thirsts, hope you're well. So this is the can I bought, so you guys can see. And as you can see, it's been used right there. I'm in no way sponsored by whoever the fuck these are. So this is Montana 94. Yeah, £4. Four human pounds. In Australia, obviously, that would be $800 redos, but £4. Now, this is in the center of Nottingham. So for any of my boys, girls, people around the world who are in Nottingham, or anyone who ever comes to the TSN Arena in the next 50 years of your life while we're here, come here, and when all shops are open, COVID, just fucking pop across the road. You'll have all the spray cans you could ever want. So yeah, £4, which is mental. So that blew my mind. So then obviously I was like, okay, £4, maybe it's shit, but maybe it's not. So then I gave it, £4 is nuts, right? When it's like, have you been taking water while Rob was here? Come on, £4's good, right? Anyway, so I gave it a try. Okay, so here we are. Right, as you guys can see. So this is one of my dwarf houses. So red. And then I think I only did about a coat. Like, he also sold me a bunch of nozzles. So a wider nozzle. Again, like Marco suggested, like he's got wider nozzles, and I told him what it was for, and he suggested me a nozzle, and that nozzle was 25 pence. So there you go, so not bad. Pretty happy with that. £4 is like Halfords car spray paint price. It's so cheap. Can you imagine how many jam sandwiches you get for £4? I can. So anyway, did this. So I painted like quite a few buildings, and then I started work on this bad boy. So this is my first dwarven building. It's not finished yet. I'm going to do the filigree up here, but not a bad start, right? So there we go. That's pretty nice. Thanks, buds. So looking forward to that. But now I have to do an entire board of this, which this took me a while. So that's pretty much where I'm going to start today. However, I am super excited about that spray paint shop because some of the other stuff I'm doing, I'm doing a mushroom themed board, and I want like a pallid kind of white as opposed to just like a blank white. And they have that available, and £4 is like pretty much cheap enough to do a board's worth, which I think is great. So yeah, 8 entire boards. No, I'm not going to do 8 boards of that. So I'm going to do 1 dwarf board so far. However, now I have to paint. So you need about 10 pieces in Age of Sigmar. So I now have to paint 80 pieces of terrain. So, ladies and gentlemen, you guys are going to see a lot of painting on this Twitch stream. Like, there's going to be whole days of just fucking painting and painting. And of course, I could have just dry brushed it. This is, by the way, before I do like any washes. So I'd like to do like a really heavy wash on this. And then I'd obviously like to stick like lichen or like, you know, I'd like to, what is the word? Rough it up. That's not the word. De-stress it's not the word. You guys know the word. That word that they do. weather. Thank you, Sir Callum. I am going to weather it. Good start. I'm happy with this. Going to do some weathering, but I've got some crazy pieces to paint, and so I'm going to start painting right now while we talk to you guys. Is the next plan to try multiple colours with cans like Marco does? Herminister, yes. I think that's the next plan. This one I specifically chose this grey, and I specifically chose... Well, number one, I wanted to try the spray paint out. I wasn't 100% certain. I was, like, sure of the quality or anything. So I got it all. I've done it, tried it, loved it. Excellent. The next pieces I am going to try out. There's a board of crystals for warpstone. I want to do, like, a Skaven board, because I think that would be super cool. You rarely see, like, Skaven boards. So I think that would be really fun. So I'm going to do a Skaven board. And I'll get some. I'm going to do some cans to do that. So, but I just more was kind of like gobsmacked at the price, and also kind of pissed at the price. If I'm honest, like I was pissed that I've ever spent 12 quid on a can before from Games Workshop. Now there probably is a good reason. I know Henry's in the chat, and he always uses Chaos Map Black Spray, and there's like a very consistent quality issue that like he thinks is really valuable, and that's super fair. I'm not good enough at this, but it worked for me, so I'm not once bitten yet, so happy with this. Convenience and reliability. Yeah, okay, convenience and reliability. Okay, that's super fair. The problem with the bright boards is that it can make it hard to see darker models. So yeah, that's actually a good point. I'm not going to be doing bright boards at all. Like, I'm going to do pretty like murky boards. But one of the things that I'm going to do is base the terrain. So I'm going to paint the terrain pretty much independent of the basing. Pretty much we got some mats delivered from, I don't know, Game Mat EU or something, where we bought them from. So then these are going to go onto some plastic card, and then I'm going to color match that to the board that it's meant to be a part of. So that'll be a part of the weathering process. So just paint first, that's the plan. Paint first, then attach, and then match the kind of like flooring to the board. There we go. That is way more advanced than I thought it was going to be. So hopefully they're nice. Plus, when you recommend something to non-Games Workshop to people, Ape said shit at us. Probably fair. the cheapest spray cans paint a pit. So this is important. This isn't a cheap... This is a cheap can. It is cheap. It was £4. But I think that, like, I did a coat. Like, it didn't... One of the things I said to him, I was like, I don't want it to pool. And you know, like, I've been in the hobby now for like I don't know, 8 or 9 years. I've spray canned a lot of fucking stuff. I've spray canned stuff more than I've ever painted stuff. And it doesn't go on thick. Like, it didn't do any of the stuff. Like, I would happily paint this onto a model. I think it's excellent. So, primary with the airbrush is so fancy for my process. Oh, Jesus, that's way too fancy. Imagine Humanix Games Workshop customers will refuse to believe another brand will be the same, no matter how much people suggest it, says Rob. Yeah, I can see that. You're right, according to SoundCloud, Stream Street 1 with Donal was 10 months ago. Feels like longer. Yeah, man. You're right, according to... Okay, yeah. I don't want it to pool, spray less on. Yes, of course. My point is that I've never bought any cheap spray paint to try and use on my models. This is cheap spray paint that doesn't... I'll spray some models with it, and then I'll come back on the show tomorrow, and I'll show you guys. Because, like, if I fuck it up, I'll just reprint a new one. But, like, yeah, I'll spray paint some stuff, and we'll see what the detail is. I'll spray paint some fine models to see what we end up with. That paint is 100% high quality than Games Workshop, says ZipZapRap. Probably. I think this is probably much better quality. Like, and also, and again, choice. We do this a lot as a community, and that's fair. We compare everything to Games Workshop, which is fair, because normally that's our first port of call. So super fair points. Cheaper by a third. Third of the price of Games Workshop product. Third of the price. That's important. But the important point for me, as always, is like the variety, the range of colors. All the colors of the rainbow were available, and also some gradients as well. So like, you know, a green, a slightly darker green. So like if you did want to just rattle can some stuff, you could potentially blend a little bit with the paints, which I think is quite sweet. And then custom nozzles is also the other thing. So you can have a really tight spray and you can have a really wide spray. So yeah, can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Actually, this is a side note, which I don't think is applicable, but it smelt really nice. That's going to be a weird thing to say, but it smelt nice. I don't know what that's about, but I'm just bringing it up. I don't know. But Rob, this spray can, you're painting with all the colors of the wind. right, stop huffing paint. I wasn't huffing it, it was just in the same area of it, and I could smell it. Right, I'm going to start painting, which means, Twitch chat, it's down to you. What would you like to bring up today as a point of conversation? That's what I am going to say to thee, Twitch chat. What is it you would like to discuss? And it could be anything. I knew you were a paint sniffer. I'm a paint sniffer, definitely. That's fine. That doesn't bother me. You guys can mock all you like. I am very comfy. Also, you know, two Battletoads being released. That's my first kickoff. Tired this week. There's a lot of reading to do, a lot to digest. A lot of, also just generally a lot of reading. Like, I tend to read, like, a lot of WhatsApps and a lot of blogs and other stuff to kind of see what the general vibe is, which is a bit tough because sometimes you have to wade through, like, pretty terrible opinions. But, it's been a lot to take in, which is quite nice. And it's fascinating. Well, not fascinating. I think it's so cool how much the community, like, breaks the book to pieces when new books are released. They, like, absolutely digest all the information, put it together, and then rebuild it. And I've loved watching recently people kind of, what's the right word? Like, try and fix the problem or break the problem apart of new books. That's always super fun. Can we talk about Titanforge giving me an unsavory wargame erection? God damn, Joel, what did they do? Crazy Horse says, Bone Splitters, do I think that they have a competitive build in there? Not really. They don't. Their allegiance abilities, like, loads of things to unpack. But their allegiance abilities, while fine, and some of their units, while fine, they always start on a very, very, they don't have a great save. They've got a lot of wounds as a cap, but they have, like, some missing overlapping pieces. They don't really have, like, a huge heavy hitter outside of the Rogue Idol. Overlapping buffs are quite cool, but they struggle into armor. They're quite magic dependent, which is rough into the meta generally. I don't think they're bad by any stretch of the imagination. I think you'd build a Bone Splitters army, have a great time with it, like 3-2, maybe even 4-1. And if you played with it a lot, like any army, maybe you could do super well with it. I think it's a medium to good army. Like, so yes, I guess that actually, do you know what? Apologies. That is actually a competitive army. That's a good, like, my frame rate needs to be, like, not do you want to win a tournament, but can you compete? And so framing that, yeah, I think Bone Splitters is very playable. Yeah. Afternoon, Dan Brook, hope you're well. Nikki De Williams, do you still expect AOS 3 this summer? What big changes do you expect in the game? I do expect AOS 3 this summer. Big changes for the game are smaller board, which we've talked about. I think that's all but confirmed. From a load of different places. I would expect to see a change to Battleshock. I would expect to see a change to coherency. I would expect to see a change to scoring. I expect to get secondaries in Age of Sigmar. I expect to see a change to terrain rules. I expect to see a change to coherency, I think, would be the issue. Yes, all the stabbers. down with the smaller boards. The important question is, will Bone Splitters win the painting battle? This is the only important question ever, right? So Control-C, Control-V of 40k Knight, to some degree. I think that they'll obviously want to see some changes in there as well. But I mean, some of the important changes that we've had for Age of Sigmar, like, we've had, like, both games do inform each other a little bit. If you think about it, like, so they changed it so you could only choose three endless spells. Like, it's an arbitrary number. Like, what was four problematic, but two was too few? Like, they're just obsessed with the number three. They're like, cool, we do threes in 40k, we're going to do threes in Age of Sigmar. It's just... the nipple metal will be tight in AOS 3. It would be good. Would you expect we'll get AOS Crusade? Ah, Path to Glory. AOS Crusade. Yes, we may well get AOS Crusade. It's not really... I know we're a narrative channel who only really talk about narrative gaming now. But still, even as a narrative gamer, I find myself unable to be enthused about Crusade or whatever. Path to Glory will be. Like, it's cool, I guess, if you want, but doesn't bother me. Speaking of medium good, do you think Sons of Behemoth have a place in the mid-ranking gatekeeper now? We have some data after initial strongly negative impression. Yes, Meatballs, I would agree. I do think that they have a mid-table presence in that they at least, and they're a DPS check, but that's all they'll ever be, like, because of, like, the mechanics of their army. Because the reason I was very negative on their book, other than actual, like, general output, is because it just doesn't play how I would expect that book to be written to play. And even now, like, as we move forward and as we've seen event results, that's super true. It's a mono-dimensional, uninteresting, lazy attempt at giving some models rules, which is super sad. Like, very much like with Sinesh and the DOK difference. The difference between Daughters of Cain and Sinesh is that, like, you can play Daughters of Cain a bunch of different ways. Sinesh, you can just, like because of the sub-factions, and then Sinesh, you just, like, cool, do I want Godseeker so I can get D3 plus 1? Like, it's whatever. Like, there's no variety there. Commando Thong or Posing Couch with Pausing Couch of Sigvald's Chaps. Thong, I think Sigvald's definitely Commando. He's going to want, like, the metal of his greaves, like, bumping up against stuff. I heard some 40k players complaining that Crusade was in the middle of the 40k rules. I was thinking Path of Glory did it first, almost like you're screaming out for people to notice it. It's like an ad, right? It's like an advert in the middle of your book. You're like, sweet, I've read the narrative, loving it. Yeah, painting section, probably going to skip that, but maybe I'll look at the pictures later. Very cool for that. Okay, start of the rules. Right, crunchy time. Sweet. Okay, what is this? I think, what? I don't want this. Skip ad. Bane, not us. Between the new Daughters of Cain and Sinesh books, which one do you think is the way they want to move all armies forward, and which is the screw up? Bane, not us. That's the point. It's a great question. Do I think that they want the game to be full of Daughters of Cain sort of armies, or do they think they want the game to be full of Sinesh, Sons of Behemoth armies? And the answer is that they don't have a plan. Otherwise, you wouldn't get the disparity. Hey, Datcom, hope you're well. I'm painting this. And I will keep painting. Datcom, like, puts the pressure on. I'm going to keep painting. That's the disparity between the two, right? The disparity means that there's no cohesive central plan for what they want the game to look like. So they don't mind that Seraphon are right at the top or doing whatever it's doing. Yeah, and they don't mind that what other armies, like the Seraphon book came out and was the Seraphon book. Like, they don't care that there's a disparity between it. They don't care about the disparity between points of units. And that's not meant to be like, Games Workshop terrible, what a bunch of wankers. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, by evidence of the releases, by the data of our eyes, I know data's rough for us as a community, there's no cohesive plan. So they don't want the game to be full of Daughters of Cain or Sinesh armies. It's just whatever those two different rules teams... Well, it's just two guys, isn't it? Age of Sigmar crew is just two guys. So two guys, two different battle tomes. No cohesive plan, no points, like, organized between them. That's what we live with. Which is why it's such a chaotic game. But still, like, I can't think of a better community to process it with, because it's hilarious, right? So fuck them. In your opinion, what the reason for the second session release? No one's expecting it yet. What was the reason? I just think that they split the book up. So we talked about this on the show before. I think probably they think that if you look at the size, maybe of the Space Marine release, like the volume of units that they released and whatnot, or like the Necron release, I think that their future plans are probably to split army books or a set of models. You know, you set your designers to be like, cool guys, I want you to, let's say, redo Necrons or redo Sinesh. Like, oh, amazing. Here's like 22 different sculpts. Like, well, we're never going to flog 22 in a go because people will pick and choose between them. So we'll release 10. And then in a year's time, we'll release another 10. And then you've bought into the first 10. And maybe you bought stuff that you wouldn't have bought if you knew there was another 10. So I think that's why. That's 100% the reason why. Oh, Crazy Horse, thanks for gifting some tier subscriptions. Some subscriptions in the chat. That's lovely of you. Woohoo! They thought we can sell two books. Yes, that's what Dave is saying. They love selling books. It's their favourite new thing. Oh, and thank you to Azza for subscribing. That's brilliant of you. Hey, Dacom. Sam did Daughters, Jervis Sinesh. That AOS book author meme from a year or two ago. Mandolli's correct. Yeah, 100%. 100%, like, Sam does the more competent book, and Jervis does the other book. So, there you go. Make of that what you will. I don't want to... I'm not throwing shade or being critical. The biggest problem I have is their manager, or, like, their QA guy, right? Because their QA guy is, like, does nothing. If they even have a QA guy. They're like, here's a book. Like, oh, sweet. That's super sweet. I love that book. And like, here's another book. Cool. Like they didn't even take the time for a moment to read one unit versus another unit in those two releases at the same time. Didn't even bother to do it. So there either isn't a QA guy, as Born Again Merchild says, or they don't bother to check it. And I do wonder what that's about. Like, actually, because they clearly, based on the FAQ and some other stuff, have made some, like, significant attempts to make the 40k game, whether or not they've done it, they've made significant attempts. And I do wonder, Twitch chat, like, my question is to you, because I've been racking my brain about it a little bit. Like, why is it that they don't want to try and do better with the Age of Sigmar, like, competitive Age of Sigmar? Like, well, and the reason I say I don't think they do is because they I mean, just the QA on those two books and the FAQ should be a good enough indication. I think I could bring a whole bunch of other info to it, but let's just jump off that. You guys got any thoughts? I do wonder, like, what you guys' thoughts are on that. Jervis doesn't comprehend competitive Warhammer. Like, Corinthians couldn't contemplate people could cheer football. I think it's because they don't need it to make millions of quids is a fucking really good argument that I don't have an answer to. I know in the digital world some companies try and get by without editors or QA if possible, just no mistakes will get through. Says She Who Thirsts. Interesting. Because Games Workshop is an all boys club and ones there don't care. I think Rob Kelly is right on that. Helgemar, my faith in Games Workshop is an all-time low. I wonder if it's ego. I sometimes think the criticism causes a siege mentality and then they double down on how they're doing it. Born Again Manchild, that makes loads of sense. They want to go back to No Points AOS. Here. If they go back to No Points AOS, means we do the points and everything's great. Everything's gravy, baby. Because they're now a sci-fi book company that dabbles in fantasy. Because balancing is a lot of work and every update wrecks it. Yeah. Dave Fraser says, I haven't bought a book since KO, no point giving I'm not playing. That's fair. That's super fair. That makes loads of sense. I completely understand that. Afternoon, Gitly. Hope you're well. Do we think that we'll get the third Sinesh book this year or next year to create the fuck up? So, Helgemar brings up the point, right? That, so, like, if you had a shitty game, let's take the computer game analogy, right? Before we do anything else, we're going to put a premise in for us in the chat. And me, all of this is true. We love the game. And what I mean by that is different for different people, probably. Maybe the universe, maybe your gaming community, maybe, which I think is the strongest one. We talked about this a few times. when you're playing a computer game on your own, or a couple of mates online, I mean, WoW is very different, right? Like, when you play WoW, you normally play with your mates, or you grow, get some mates, and you join a guild, and it's, like, very, very, like, singular and together. Whereas, I think Warhammer, or at least Age of Sigmar, but both Age of Sigmar and 40K, so Warhammer generally, it's you and your mates, right? Like, it's your little gaming community, and then sometimes that gaming community is more. Like, for instance, there's people in this chat who I know from all over the world because of the game, not because of any other reason, because of the game. And so it would be super hard to give up on those friends in that community, which I think is the, like, is actually the strength that they have. Like, I think that's the strength that they have, as a game company, is that once you're in, you're actually in with your mates. And once you, I don't want to lose you guys as mates, that'd be rubbish. And so, like, you know, you kind of grin and bear it ultimately, and hope for a better game. That's such a shit kind of conclusion, right? It makes me a terrible consumer. Although, really, I have disavowed myself of being a consumer of their stuff. Like, and I vote with my wallet. Like, none of this terrain is from them. None of my models are likely to ever be from them again. Thankfully, the rules are always a photograph away in my mind. So, you know... I'd go as far as to say I'm probably not, I'm a consumer of their world, and I participate in their world, but I in no way support them financially in doing so. And I don't feel bad about that in any fucking way. In any way, shape, or form. And I'm all right with it. So that mindset is what kills the game. They made billions, so like it won't kill the game. That's fine. There's always going to be a whole bunch of people who just fucking spend the money. So it's fine. Why do you call me out like this? I get it. I have my mates. Dave, you're my mate. Fuck you. I still have my brown, honest, walking business card you passed to me at Warhammer World. Yes, Dad. Anyway. So, yeah. Like, and maybe when they support the game better, I'll be more inclined to give them my money. But right now, I'm voting my wallet. And they don't deserve my wallet. Hey, Darren. What's up? Let's go. When I first went to UK about 4 years back, I went to a gaming store. On the first day I was there, not knowing anyone, I got home the next morning at 3 a.m. and meeting and chatting with Warhammer fans all night. This is a great hobby. It is a great hobby. That's what I'm invested in. My local gaming stores, my community, all of that. Super into that. Cold Shoulder, thank you very much for resubscribing. Big love to you. Morning. So yeah, I don't think that they're ever going to lose their audience because their audience is pretty much tied to the emotional connection that they have as a group. And events are my favorite part about Warhammer. Like, and that's never going to go away. I like going to events. I like meeting people. I like making friends that way. Like, it feels like partying, but for adults. So I'm never going to leave the hobby. Like, I mean, like, I was thinking, this all started off because of the AOS 3 chat. I could 100% see, it's not a guarantee, I could 100% see them moving and taking the priority role away. Like, I could. And I think that would be super rubbish for the game. Super, super, super rubbish. Like, super rubbish. But if they do, I guess I'll still play. Like, it's just going to be the kind of the world I'm in. And like, maybe that's, I can still find people who'll have fun games with. I guess... there's two kind of conversations here, isn't there? Is the game fun? .com Or can you find people who playing whatever game with will be fun? And that's the real answer. So I think the community makes the game fun. So like, and in fact, it's kind of better when it's shit. Can we talk about that? Can we talk about that it's kind of better when it's shit? Like, look, when there's a hot take, we all love a good Heywo meme, right? Like, we're all excited for Vince kicking off about Sinesh. And he isn't going to kick off, like, he's going to kick off in that, like, very specific, well-worded, well-researched way where he's, like, formed his argument, right? And that's what we're going to see. That's super fun. It's super fun watching people shill. It's kind of hilarious. Like, it's hilarious. Like, you listen to them and they say some stupid shit because they've get some free product or they want to sell some product or whatever it is. It's really funny. Like, you and your mates can be like, listen to this fucking idiot. Like, it's brilliant. Right? Facebook threads are full of, like, all sorts. It's like, I saw someone yesterday being like, yeah, fucking Slangora really good. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, it's so much fun. So... so, like... Shilling for Games Workshop over Internet Clout is a weird champ move. I agree, Lou Diamonds. It's super weird. There's some fucking weird people in this hobby as much as there are cool people. However, it makes it so much fun. Like, fuck, I can't wait for Monday's show where I tell Nathan about the Smash War Scrolls. It's going to be super fun. Wait till they update Gits. Me and Nathan are going to have a riot where they make them terrible. If they make them terrible, it's even funnier like than if they make them super good. So, like... so, like, the 65 mil base thing, it's kind of good that they're kind of shit. Otherwise, I have to get really professional and we have to, like, dryly inform you of actual changes that are competently well done and maybe explain why they're competently well done. Which is, ultimately, actually, maybe more boring. So, fucking long may they continue to suck, is what I say. Long may it continue, because I've got you guys and me, and we can have a great time and fuck everyone else. Like, let's have fun. Because you only get one life and I want to have fun doing it. So, and I've just painted this thing. Fuck you, Daco. That's one. That's in there. Nathan Prescott reactions to new Battle Tomes is honestly my favorite thing of all. Me too. It's taken me a few years to work out where to go with that, like to get that, like to set it up for the pitch. And I worry if I do too many setups, like he'll get it. So I've got to be cautious about like generating the setup. But he's mint. He's such a mint person. And Dan as well, and James. It's great. It's great watching them react. They're fucking so triggered. It's really good. Chris Wallace, do you think the Vamp release will be like the Illumineth first release, half an army with an unannounced second launch? Yes, I do. I don't have any reasoning for that. None. But I would say, Twitch chat, you can just either hit me with a yes or a no. I would say that this is probably going to be their modus operandi from now, like, pretty much. I imagine that they'd get the miniatures team working in unison, or they get a huge portion of the miniatures team working on a release, and they're like, just give us all the ideas. And you're like, sweet. And then that also means that they can put into the narrative, like, also means when they pitch that up to the books and box games, it's probably just more efficient, is what I'm trying to say. So, like, they go to the miniatures guys, they're like, just go nuts. And they're like, blah, 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 blah. You're like, fuck. Instead of having to, like, cut down to, like, what they think is sellable, they just throw that all to books and box games. And books and box games are like, yeah, I love that, love that, love that. Like, we'll, like, take this half, we'll release that. That's cohesive. We'll put that together. We'll grab this other half. We'll put that together as well. And then you're in a good spot, right? Because, like, think about, there's a couple of really, there's actually a positive for us as a group here. And I'd like to talk about why. For Age of Sigmar, we can talk about Caradhran Overlords, and we could talk about Iron Jaws. When Iron Jaws was just Iron Jaws, and they weren't, didn't have access to anything else. The reason is, I think, if this is the situation, is when they release Iron Jaws, they're like, cool, they fight. You're like, cool, any shooting? No shooting. No mixed arms force. And like, yeah, shooting isn't a great part, like, generally, of Age of Sigmar, but there should always be some ranged threat. Keeps, like, backline support characters honest and everything else. But now, and same with KO. KO, they're like, here. Most of it, like, it's all shooting. There's no combat or anything. And you're like, oh, there's some combat, but you know what I mean. And you're like, okay. So when they're designing the rules, they're super polarized, and they have to be polarized. Whereas, if we look at the Lumineth release... and the Sinesh release is a bad example. Sinesh release is a good example. Like, with the Lumineth release and with the Sinesh release, they are mixed. They've got a bit of everything. They're like, cool, we're going to stick the mountains in with these guys, and we've got the Aurelian guys, the guys on foot, and we've got the archers and the cav. So perfectly, like, I complimented it then, and I'll still say to it now. Like, it was a great release, right? Because you end up with, you've got, like, if you wanted to play more traditional fantasy or, like, you know, fantasy that's in your head, you've got an archer unit, you've got a melee unit, you've got a cavalry unit, you've got some monsters, you've got a wizard, a couple of wizards. Like, it's perfect. It's all the stuff, yeah, which is great. Whereas the Sinesh one was like just the combat stuff, but then now they've added in the shooting stuff. And ignoring whether or not the shooting stuff is good, again, you've got cavalry, big monsters, centerpiece. You've got that variety, like with the OC Arcs release as well. They're doing a good job of like fleshing it out. And I would imagine that's because they've fleshed out loads more of the range, and then they release that range in waves. Now, how do we feel like that as customers? I mean, they love selling books and whatever, but a more complete range for us as gamers is actually a huge positive. It means your army's not so polarized. It means you've got some options to move around. Like the bolt throwers are coming out for the Realm Lords or whatever, so they're going to have like a shooting piece. I mean, they already have one, but they've got like an artillery piece. They've got some more like infantry and those swordmaster dudes. So it's actually a positive, I think, for us as consumers, ignoring having to buy more books, I think. Not sure, Rob. I was looking at Lumineth until more shit came out, and now I'm like, ooh, vamps. If I wait until vamps, second thing, and then I'll be like, ooh, zombies with big gonads. Vamps have got me, by the way, short and curlies. I want everyone to know that. I think vamps are like the future. Like, I think like the Lumineth stuff, everyone's like, yeah, but they've absolutely done themselves in with the vampires. I think everyone wants the vampires. Hey, Tom Whitbrook, hope you're well. Oh yeah, paint terrain. Sorry, I was just yammering away. I'll keep painting. Thank you. 90 pieces to go, boys. I might get a tracker on the screen. These are also some of the smaller pieces. Fuck me. Oh, God. All I can hope is for a really aggressive and contagious, non-life-threatening fourth UK strain. Just need that extra month, boys. That's what I need to paint. Painting tracker. That's what we'll do. We'll do that. Thanks, 40K Will. One at a time, Rob. I'm doing it one at a time. Let's go. I'm just going to do a board at a time. That's the plan. Board at a time, and then we'll just smash them out. It's going to be super good. And then what's really frustrating is that it'll probably only be applicable for however long Age of Sigmar 2 lasts, and then the smaller boards, we probably won't need 10 pieces of terrain on each board. Probably only need fucking, I don't know, 8 or something. Who knows? You should use contrast paints on the terrain much quicker and easier. It's super expensive, though. Super expensive. And I don't have loads of cash, is the simple answer. But what I do have is loads of paint that I've bought in my life, and some spray cans. So there we go. Let's get going. Also, I don't know if the contrast will look any good on terrain, right? Would it? Oh, I don't know. I don't trust it. This is the biggest problem as well. I'm also a pretty shit painter, and I want all the terrain to look really nice. So, oh boy. Oh boy. Also, Rob's got to learn to paint at the same time. Fuck. I've got an airbrush, yeah, but I'm shit at it. So if that helps anyone. I don't think the airbrush is fast. Like, someone's going to call me a dick in the chat. Fine. I can't use it fast. It's a nightmare for me. I'm just going to say that. Spray terrain, then dry brush, yeah. Terrain is the best way to learn. Base plus dry brush equals perfect terrain. I'm pretty much doing that. Like, so I could have, again, to point this out, I could have not done this brickwork, the additional brickwork, which is this what I'm doing now. I'm blocking in this color, and I've done a couple of different colors. But I do think that makes it look more dynamic. I mean, I haven't done much to this, just gold. I mean, I haven't even dry brushed this gold yet, but I probably will, just to give it a little bit of texture before I wash it down. And then when I do wash it down, I am going to muddy it up. But I do think, originally I was like, nah, it's going to look shit, and I've dry brushed this as well. But if it had just been just great, it would have been fine. But I would like the terrain to look pretty nice. So that's my own fault. Like, I've got a bit of a quality thing. There's always a bigger brush. I could use that. You're a dick, love you. I think Games Workshop is going to throw a curveball at us and make the AOS game board bigger just to spy us all. it's fast once you know how to use it. That does look pretty nice. Thanks, Techcom. Yeah, man. AOS3 triangle boards and 1v1v1 embrace the 3. I like that you came up with a tagline. AOS can only be played in 3s. Embrace the 3. I end up cleaning the fucking airbrush and blocking for about 90% of the time. I actually fucking... Me too, Dan. Me too. Like, if we could open up, like, if some pros with airbrushes could come and fucking see me and just take me through it, then yeah, I'm like a real good learner by like seeing, but I'm not a good learner by like even the YouTube videos. I try super hard to watch them, and I end up skipping them. And it's a bit of ADHD there, boys. My learning is done in person best, as opposed to via video. But I am trying. I promise you, I am trying. Rob, have you watched Vince's video on how to clean your airbrush? Dave, I have. I've actually watched a couple of videos on how to clean your airbrush, a couple of ways. And as you guys will have borne witness not long ago, apparently you have to clean your airbrush after every use, which is something I discovered only during... I'm one of those guys, I get the thing, I don't read the instructions, I just bang it all together and try and make it work. And I know that that's a terrible example to set, and I should be a better person. But that's who I am, and that's what I'm trying to change about myself. It's something I need to learn about myself, which I have learned. But anyway, whatever. I was lucky enough to have Henry Steele give me those tutorials in person. It made me a massive difference. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'd love that. That'd be great. Hopefully, we've got like a quite big space, not huge. But I am wondering when lockdown ends and stuff, if Henry's going to come up here and do like a paint session, you know, like one of his painting classes and things, and then we'll like flog tickets and stuff. So that'd be quite nice to do here. That'd be really fun. So looking forward to that. And other stuff like that. But mainly for tournaments. Just get a bit of tissue paper and practice spraying on that. Gets used to the direction of flow. I saw that. I've watched a video of a guy doing that and like practicing and doing the circles and all that other jazz. I thought that was really good. I also, most importantly, can't stream and airbrush at the same time, boys, because the compressor makes a bunch of noise. So this means I can stream at the same time, which is great. So I'm doing that too. One thing I've learned, avoid airbrush blocks, more thinner, use it until you go, fuck, that's too much, then use some more. Ooh, okay. When am I aiming to get T-Sports going again? As soon as it's possible, Hawkeye. As soon as, based on the conversation we had yesterday on the 40K Jason show, as soon as it's okay to do, basically, if that makes sense. As soon as, like, government restrictions say so, but also... if I feel like that's also okay to do. Does that make sense? I know that there's as soon as the government say it's fine, but I'm just going to check on that. Does that make sense? But as soon as, pretty much. What's the plan with Super Series as soon as lockdown over is to get it back up and running. Try and get the first Super Series, so Genesis first Super Series, get that done, get it out the window, get it sorted, get a winner, and then plan Super Series 2. Which will be good. There'll be different Super Series for different things. And what's really nice is we'll be able to do the original plan. So the original plan was to do big team qualifying tournaments. So there will be like a big Honest Wargamer team tournament, which will be a qualifying tournament as well, which will be running in conjunction with some of our partners. So that's super cool. So hopefully the process will be in the future. Big team tournament, loads of people turn up, we all drink beers, whatever. Those people qualify, they go into the Super Series format, Super Series format goes on, we end up with a win. Sweet. Rinse and repeat every 6 months, just have a great time. That's the kind of plan. And then it gives people time to train and get the teams together and all that other jazz, and it'll be super cool. So I'm looking forward to that. And then it means that we don't take up too much of the schedule, right? It means we can go to other events, do the coverage there and all that other stuff, host events here, do the coverage here and all that other stuff. So that's the Super Series plans. But the problem is so hard to plan, right? You don't know when, I know some people in the chat the other day were just saying things don't plan anything for 2022. And I was like, man, fuck. Is that true? Is that real? It's hard to plan, is all I'm gonna say. It's hard to plan. What's everyone painting today? What is everyone doing? Also a little side note, you can't see it yet, but I'll tell you guys about it. I'm just 3D printing right now a blacksmith's. So instead of doing that on the FDM printer, that's being done on the resin printer. So it's going to look super nice. So I'm toying with the idea. I'll see how many designs I can find. I'm toying with the idea of having a different kind of, not centerpiece, because I don't want there to be always a central piece, but a stall or a narratively themed part with an actual person on the terrain. So maybe one will be like a wizard's college with the wizards on top and maybe some wizard supplies. So I've done a bakery, which I think is hilarious for the town. Next one's a blacksmith, which I think will be super good. I might put that on the dwarven board, flogging their wares. I think that would be really fun. But I'm looking forward to doing one of those on each board. I think theme boards will be super cool. What type of resin are you using? I'm using any cubic grey is what I'm currently using. Rob, have you done previous show on 3D print STLs and go back and watch the VOD of Jolt? No, actually, that's I haven't. No, it's on my list. It might be, probably won't be this week because I'm prepping for doing coverage of an Age of Sigmar event on Saturday and prep and doing coverage of a 40k TTS tournament, teams tournament on Sunday. So I've got loads and loads of like really boring spreadsheet shit to do. So probably next week, because I think I'm at the place now where I can do like a good live show on it, and I could put loads of links up, and I think I've got loads of like good information that I've been like told about and like I've researched, and so I've got some so I'm probably not gonna stream the reveal on, hey Ziggy, what's up, probably not gonna stream the reveal on Saturday, which is super sad because obviously that's a super fun show to do because we're doing the coverage of the Hammer Time tournament. I'm not certain yet. I might talk to Owen. Maybe we just won't do round two, and instead we'll stream that and then we'll come back for the final. 3D Hexes, do I want some STLs? Always would love some STLs. Thank you. Please just message me somewhere in the world. Morning, I know I made it to the end, was scraping snow and ice off my driveway and a girlfriend's car. So for morning, Volzen, hello. Also, big love to everyone, all my friends in Texas. They're on a shit time, aren't they? I found STL files for Punga miniatures, Skaven models yesterday. Sweet Skaven files. Oh man, nice. They look great. Hey, Tristan. Yeah, halftime show. Tristan, we could do a halftime show. I'll check the schedule and maybe we'll do a halftime show. If our noble and glorious Altman doesn't get past the first round of Seraphon, then do the reveals. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so I think maybe I'll do the reveal show, but maybe not. It's up in the air. Like, I don't want to like ruin the commitment, but I also think like as a community we really enjoy the reveal shows and doing that as a channel and as a show, and it's always a bit like, it's a bit, I don't know, we'll see. I don't want to ruin that commitment at all with Owen. But you know, I've got to get them clicks, so fucking hell, if I don't do it, I'll be in trouble. do you want to build details for a dirt cheap UV curing bin on Discord? Do you want to build details for a dirt cheap UV curing bin on Discord for a printing show? I've got a curing station anyway, so thank you. I don't think I'm going to build anything, and that working great. Dave Fraser, on my paint table I have one shark, one Nighthaunt horsey guy, some Stormcast, some Napoleonic, some Epic, a Reaper miniature of an elf mage, a random samurai sword guy, and some Epic Space Marines. What do you mean, Hobby Butterfly? Dave, that's too much is all I'm going to say. Forgive. So the new Honest War game, the new Sinesh book, I've made a good powerful list that can get up to 21 depravity points a turn. Big problem, it costs $1,000 to play that list. First of all, problem. So my question to everyone who is running the depravity lists or want to create depravity lists is this. Can you do the other two things that you need to do? It's great that you can generate that many depravity points, but can you also score objectives and fight off your enemy at the same time? That's a different conversation, right? If you could do both. Want a tail wasp but drops you the reveals while you stream round two? Yes, I do, Joe. Yes, I do. I'll talk to you. I should have got in touch with you earlier to do the STL show with you next week. I'll finally get back to work. Oh, sorry, Herminister. We'll sort it out. It can be something we do offline, and we can do it as a proper video. I keep waiting for the day, any day, the title to be Got Partner Baby. Right, okay, so the partner thing, if you guys are just... I'm frustrated now at this point, just for you guys. I applied 4 weeks ago, and on Twitch, when you go to apply, it says... apply to partner, and it says this process normally takes 7 days, and then I applied and didn't get an email saying we might be overloaded, this might take 2 weeks, and now it's 4 weeks. So I don't know what the holdup is, really. Maybe I don't know, like, it's super frustrating. Like, we've passed all of the qualifications that you need. Maybe it's gone to like a manual review. which is fair. I'm not sure. It's a bit upsetting, but like more of you just tuning in and hanging out is super nice also. So whatever. Whatever. If we don't get it, then we don't get it. Could we make a soundboard of someone make a soundboard of the previous reveal shows? We could do that. the closer you are to the limit, the longer they put it to see if it's a sustainable or just a temporary spike. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Maybe Twitch held it up like lorry park in Kent. I heard most people don't get it on the first try. That's true, but we have applied several times before, so we'll see. So that's going to be rough, but whatever. Like, if we don't get it, we don't get it. Like, I don't, like, as long as the people who are tuning in, which is you guys, are enjoying themselves and what I'm putting out there is valuable content, I think that's super valuable. I can't actually, moment of appreciation for all of you. Like, I lost a job just at the beginning of lockdown, which was my other job, which was DJing. So, like, that pushed me to now be a full-time, like, content dude. And then really arguably lost like the other main reason that I do content, which is tournaments, right? Tournament coverage and doing those sorts of things and setting that all up was the main purpose of what I do. So I kind of lost both. So the fact that you guys have supported me, and that's Patreon, Twitch, donations, anything that's done that, supported me so that I've been able to get through the past year has been amazing. So like I really can't, like I'm so much luckier than so many other people. Yeah, I've had to have some rough days and eat some jam sandwiches sometimes, but fucking hell, like, if that's the worst that's happened to me, then I'm a lucky fella. So thank you to all of you. Maybe the worst thing that's happened to me is painting 90 pieces of terrain. That's probably the worst thing that's happened to me, but that's a different conversation. yeah, Rob, what about Games Workshop? They lost they lost all their data. That's true, Dwarf Penguin. That is true. Games Workshop had a much rougher time. They lost all their data. They had to do reveal shows. Can we talk about a year ago they started doing their, well, not quite a year ago, but like 8 or so months ago they started doing their reveal shows, and their quality has improved 0%. It's still two dudes in a room. They made so much money. They got so much fucking money. Oh my god. I'll paint your terrain if you want to do the trim on my Chaos Space Marines. No, thank you. No fucking way do I want to do that at all. Okay, done these. So what I've done is I've just picked out some random bricks on these, quite a nice colour. If anyone's interested in what colour I'm doing, for some fucking reason, dark sand. And then I'm going to move on to doing a different colour, which is... oh, no. It's a type of grey from Vallejo. Luftwaffe Unif. Shit. Okay, I'm using some Luftwaffe grey. They could hire Beyonce to play Sinesh. They've got so much money. They could. They should. That would, Cardi B doing Sinesh would be amazing. To be fair, they've stopped overemphasizing their wow after revealing things they'd already seen. What's this under here? Oh, wow. Oh, Dave. Oh, man. Dave, thanks for donating 20 quid to the show. Oh, to make the number 9669. Perfect. Perfect. Thanks, Dave. That's really fucking kind of you and massively appreciated. And I'd just like to say that this is a show where I've, like, I really appreciate that. And I feel like it's because I've mainly been painting while talking as opposed to going some insane tangent about who knows what. So, chuff with that. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you loads. Could you imagine Sinesh voiced by Cardi B? That would be great. Ooh, okay. All right, okay. We've got big, big advertising money. We all work for Games Workshop, right? We've all got the big cash. And we can get any celebrity to represent a faction. Let's go. This is a fun journey for all of us. So we're not like, they're not playing as the faction. It's not like a movie situation where they're using it to sell the faction, right? We're getting some salesmanship up in here. Danny DeVito gets... Okay, close the stream. Close the fucking stream. Clip a fucking string. That's perfect. Danny DeVito as Gitz is mega. I'm really into that. hold on. No, don't forget they have to like they have to sell it. So what would they do? Marilyn Manson for Snatch. Ooh, that's on topic. Jog. Oh, jeez. Jesus Christ. Rugged Man's cover of WAP is a superior article. Helgemar. My favourite is the is Well Armed Peasants, the Well Armed Peasants version of WAP. Dick Strawbridge as Dwardin. Who's Dick Strawbridge? That's my question. Did someone imagine Chris Tucker from Fifth Element to voice Sinesh? It's a Lanesh! Go for the Blalaba! That would be great. The Vamps to do Soul Blight. It's on the nose. But I don't think Soul Blight listen to indie music, which is what the Vamps are, and I'll fight you all down that. I don't think they listen to that at all. They only listen to like really sludgy. They don't listen to black metal even. Like it's like just sludge, like doom metal, like really slow. Robbie Margo as Daughters of Cain. Holy shit, yes. Yes, indeedy. Shio Thirst, yes. Gary, oh dear. David Bowie for Sinesh, but you know, it's a bit too late for this. David Bowie would be great. David Bowie's amazing in all the ways. Yeah, David Bowie would be great for Sinesh, actually. Hello, Captain Brian Blood. Owen Jackson is the Emperor. Of course, we all agree with that. David Attenborough in Seraphon. That would be so good. Here we can see the noble skink. He's been buffed by the skink priest, and he'll be firing his 16-inch bow right now. Turns out it's very strong, and he's laid waste again to the mortal realms. That's a terrible impression. I'm not good at impressions, but you get the tone. That would be so good. David Attenborough doing Sinesh. The guy who played the Punisher as a Marine, job done. Oh, it's too on the nose. Although the guy who plays the Punisher does know that it's like a joke, but yeah. Snooky as Nurgle. Oh god. Gordon Ramsay as Ogre Moor Tribes is great. That is fucking great. Are you fucking stupid, Butcher? What are you doing? That's great decision, Nezil. That's great. See? Right. They've got all the money. And they keep wanting to make, like, viral videos. That's what they want to do. They want to make viral videos. Yet, they don't fucking understand how to make a viral video. They think if they do one of their employees, who no one in the other world, like, fucking knows, and they do a funny video with them, that'll somehow go viral. But Gordon Ramsay doing cooking instructions for the Ogre Moor tribes is hilarious. Brings all the Gordon Ramsay people over. That's big money. Nezil, that's a great idea. It's big money. Idiots. Jesus Christ. Rory the Hound from Game of Thrones, McCann as Leman Russ. But not like, how does he sell it? That's my point. Like, the Gordon Ramsay thing is a great pitch. It's a great pitch. Peter Steele, type O negative, was for sure a Blood Dragon vampire. 100%. Ran all the way down to Flavor Town for Nurgle. thanks to L. Ron Hubbard for donating some bits to the show. That's really appreciated. Massive love. Sigmar is reforging Bowie right now. That would be a good hope. Matt Berry doing the Money Supermarket voice is Uriel Ventress. That's rough. I don't know who would play Mortarion or Nagash, and I don't think I want to know. But it's not about playing them, right? It's about selling it. Dr. Fauci, great hire for doing Nurgle. That would be hilarious. You want to put on your masks? Greta Thunberg for Sylvaneth. Another great suggestion by 3D Hexes. That's a good pitch. You get her to spend some money. The planet can't die. You must... You can write it for yourself. Really good. Really good suggestion. It's fucking raw! Kardashians is Sinesh. Yes. One of the best World of Warcraft commercials is William Shatner's The Troll Shaman. I think that's probably like my favorite one, right? Like that is what reminds me of. So at the height of World of Warcraft, they paid really big celebrities. If you guys never tuned into this, they paid really big... I need to keep painting while I talk. They paid really big celebrities to be like, I'm a troll shaman or something like that. They should do that for fucking Age of Sigmar or 40K, you know, whatever. Although it's a bit weirder. Like, I'm a space marine. I'll murder anyone. So you'd have to get a very specific set of people for that. But they 100% should get like celebrity endorsements, like, and spend that cash, and that would generate all of their audiences into the game. Anyway, Adam Savage's ad mech is a great suggestion. Really love that. That's really good. The WoW marketing campaign worked wonders for Blizzard. She Who Thirsts. Yeah. The Pineapple Pen guy is Belisarius. Adam Savage doing a kitbash tutorial for World of Warcraft advert into my brain. Mr. T should promote Sylvanas. Mr. T didn't. Wait, Mr. T did an advert for it as well for World of Warcraft. Man. Henry Cavill, obviously, for Custodes. Obviously. Like, that works. But why would he play the Emperor? Playing the Emperor doesn't work. Getting him to, like, say that he plays Custodes obviously does wonders. But you need, like, if the Games Workshop guys put that out. See, that's big money. Games Workshop intern, if you're listening, write this down. This is big money play. That's an actual advertising department, by the way, as well. Not a product release announcement, which is what we currently get. Games Workshop are allergic to properly advertising. They are perpetually the nerd embarrassed about their art being too public. Oh, Reaper has absolutely nailed that. I think that's why they do quality. Their quality control is so bad. I think that is Games Workshop are embarrassed about their own product. Games Workshop think that they're nerds. That's what they think. They got no pride at all. Like, 100% believe that. Oh, Reaper has 100%. Sold that. Like, there's no pride. Like, the people in there think that being a nerd is not cool. That is 100% a fact. Like, that is, like, you could sing that from the rafters. And I feel like that's how a lot of us feel as well, but fuck that. Wear it on your t-shirts, wear it out in public. Like, it's awesome. Best group of people. So yeah, 100% agree. I've never seen a Games Workshop advert anywhere, says Couch Warrior. Good point. Seth Rogen as a guardsman would be so good. The best one is hire Mitchell and Webb to play as the guardsman. Yeah? Just do the scene that they did for their comedy show where it's the Mitchell and Webb scene, and then they're just guardsmen. And they're just like mowing down like some like orc children or like whatever, and they're like, Are we the bad guys? that would make so much fucking money. Like, you'd be fucking selling guardsmen like they were going out of fashion. Like, they're shit at advertising. We've all decided just in this one conversation, we've reminded ourselves. Steve Irwin's son for Seraphon would be excellent. That would be really good. Statler and Waldorf for the Muppets as guardsmen also works really well. Most Games Workshop outward facing images 40k as well. It's a shame they don't push AOS more, says Fildian. It's true. I don't think they really even understand Age of Sigmar for themselves. Like, again, I think that they're a little bit embarrassed by it, if that makes sense. Because, like, you have to take ownership of it. You have to, like, fucking love something if you want to flog it. Speaking as someone who's, like, promoted his own brands before and stuff. You have to love something to advertise something. Like, to advertise it well. Like, if it's not, like, I don't know, like some big brand corporate thing that's doing it. Like, to flog something really well, you have to super passionately care about it or be paid big bucks to care that much about it. And they're not paid big bucks, and I don't know if they super passionately care about it. So, they want to make money, right? Hire Ryan Reynolds. He would sell everything. Ryan Reynolds would be so good. What would you use Ryan Reynolds to flog? Like, which army? That is a fascinating one. Orcs, maybe. Maybe orcs? No. they view hobbyists as a resource. If they're not buying, they're just wasting space and time. I know they do, Elrond. Like, I get it. Like, but fuck them. Who cares? Tilda Swinton and the whole cast, What We Do in the Shadows, the new vampires. Oh my god, yes. That would work so good. That was so good. Ryan Reynolds as a Harlequin solitaire or Death Jester. Fuck. Yes, imagine you had like a scene where like a Death Jester, like real life Death Jester's doing some flips, or like a Death Jester is even cooler. Like, he's like looking through the lens. This is the promo, by the way. This is what it is. New Harlequins. They're all like looking through the lens. You see all the Harlequins flip dancing and doing all the murder and whatever. And then he like shoots one of the Harlequins in the ass or something. Something he shouldn't do. Something hilarious. And then like cuts back and Death Jester takes his face off and it's Ryan Reynolds. He's like fucking chuckling his ass off, and he like jumps into the fight. 11 out of 10. Would buy. Would like to buy. When are we getting enough money for deepfakes? That's Honest Wargamer money now. We want deepfake money. We're going to make these adverts ourselves. This is going to be so good. Fuck yeah. Yeah, really into that. Ryan Reynolds for Gene Sealer Colts with all the impregnating Gene Sealer seeds that converted them to his way as a patriarch is a great idea. Henry Rollins screaming war is great. I really like that. I think that works quite nicely. Man, you could do some fucking great ads. And like, and that's the thing, right? You do these great ads if you're proud of your thing. Like, yeah, fuck yeah, you make money as well. Of course you make money. But like, that's a subsidiary. Like, you make money as a subsidiary of being fucking proud of the thing that you do. It's pretty much always the case. Anyway, I still think Danny DeVito has massive range. He could play as a cherub while the rest of the cast is Always Sunny as a Devastator Squad. The Gang Do 40K is the show I know. I'm going to fucking tweet them. I'm going to tweet them and say, please, could you do the Gang Do 40K? I'd be really into that. Anyway, I think that's plenty. What time is it? Fuck, I've been here on for ages. Jesus. Fuck, actually. Am I meant to be doing something at one? Oh, dear. Let's just check this. Okay, no. We're safe. I can keep going for a while. And we still haven't heard from Twitch. For God's sakes. So I'm going to keep painting for a bit, if that's cool with you guys and hanging out. I've got 15 more minutes at least. My go-to, listen, Hugh Jackman for a new Kangaroo Lumineth. Again, brilliant. I mean, you could get the Steve Irwin kids, so like the Irwin kids to do the Lumineth. Oh, cool, blimey. Look at that. He's the right ripper. The 3D CGI of them in. That would fucking look mid. I'd be so in for that. Oh my God, Eugene Levy. Of course. We need to get the guy from Schitt's Creek in. Eugene Levy. He would be, I think he would be like, maybe, I would love to see him as like a Sinesh demon. Or maybe a Zinch demon. Like changing the plans around. He'd be like, ooh, no. they could do some 50-star adverts promoting pretend KO technology for use around the home. Fuck yeah, that works really well. That's good. Some steampunk, like, 50s advertising. That works super nice. Or you could do that for AdMech. That would be really cool too. Yeah, that'd be funky. Man, they could do so much. It's such a shame that they don't. But hopefully one day that like they'll just get bought out by a bigger company. You can see the potential and then we'll just fucking, we'll have a great time. Which would be nice. I just have a 60-second ad of Queen's Gambit spoof, but with Anya Taylor. Just have a 60-second spoof of Queen's Gambit spoof with Anya Taylor. So from Queen's Gambit, playing 40K at Warhammer World and said, Volzen. Nailed it. Also, do you guys know, this is Tommy Butters, what am I painting up this building to turn into this building. Is what I'm currently doing. I've got the roof to do as well and some other bits, but it's going quite nicely. I've still got the gold trim to do and some other stuff. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, chess was the most watched thing on Twitch the other day. Chess. And if chess is a sport, oh, my God, Warhammer's a sport. That's all I'm going to say. That's the tagline for the TSN, by the way. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Elijah Wood would also sell any miniatures, any 3D hexes. That's a great point. I think, like, of course. I mean, why they don't get the cast of the Lord of the Rings to play the Lord of the Rings game as themselves and then flog the game is beyond my comprehension. Like, beyond my comprehension, if that makes sense. Like, fuck me. Imagine it, right? If you just had, like, Aragorn just playing, it would be with an Uruk-hai on the other side. where can we watch these 40k cartoons they premiered last year? So the scuttlebutt is, gents, the scuttlebutt is that the whole cartoon thing has been scrapped. That's the general scuttlebutt right now. Oh, would you like to hear general 40k, not general 40k rumors, general Games Workshop scuttlebutt rumors that I know? The whole of that has been scrapped. That's the general scuttlebutt. And is out the window, or is going to, like, it's years away now. Like, if it's ever going to happen at all. So that's interesting. The other scuttlebutt is that any day now, a new article is coming out about their professional 40K series that's going to be happening over in America. Any day now. Or their rankings or whatever it's going to be. But there's like some sort of like big deal coming out about that. So that's the general scuttlebutt. Why was it cancelled? I don't know. That's the scuttlebutt, which means rumour, which means maybe isn't true. Could be true, might not be true, is all I know. There we go. That'll answer anyone who's on the RE, the ITC takeover. That's all I know, Nikos. That is all I know about that as well. But some fun gossip amongst all of those bits there. I'm not trying to be like a spiky bits dude. This is just stuff. And we'll see how it plays out. You know, it'll either be true or not true. But what's the news about the old world? The current rumour, or the current suspected rumour, is that it's epic scale. So it's not 28 mil, which is what Age of Sigmar is, and it's smaller scale. That's the current goss about that. So, and have I noticed that the Black Library model had his head changed after the bad feedback? I did, which was hilarious. Why not license it to a company that actually knows how to do that stuff? Prop Joe, because they don't think that they're a proper company. Like, they don't... yeah, we've talked about this loads. What does the ITC stand for? Independent Tournament Circuit. Unless you go onto their article, and Independent Tournament Circuit in one article was changed for the International Tournament Circuit, ITC. Was independent. It might still be. It could just have been a typo on the article that I read or saw. But who knows? I've heard different. Oh, okay, so it isn't epic scale. Because, question, is it epic scale or not epic scale? That's the question. The one thing that they changed for bad feedback was the bloody marine head. I would ironically be cool with it being small scale. Finally, you can feel realistic sized armies. It's easy to paint and store. Also, like, it ties in super well with Warhammer Total War. I was talking this yesterday with my friend Val. Like, I was just saying, like, how cool would it be, like, you know, you've got your Total War army, and then it's much quicker to paint up your, like, epic scale Age of Sigmar, or Old World army, sorry. But whether or not that's the case, I don't know. Old World being an epic scale makes no sense. You want to sell it to Warhammer Fantasy by all guys and Total War fans, and they saw on 25 mil, so only new people would buy it. I don't know what the case is. It might be different. Oh, fuck knows. Like, again, rumours. Rumours means not the truth, which is the... So I don't really generally... I don't trade in such things. But, you know. Anyway, let me keep painting while I keep talking. If you want to win at Old World, go into Facebook groups about it and say you hope they add Stormcast and watch it. Fucking hell. Fucking, you're a man who's either got too much time or you just want to see the whole world burn. Bless their little hearts. They really don't like it, do they? To be fair, Stormcast are pretty lame. Ultimately. I'm not bothered about that. Not the truth. Isn't this the honest wargamer? Like, it is the honest wargamer, but it's the I've told you this is the rumour section, which is the could-be-wrong section. The truth, but wrong. Let's go for that. I've done it. Oh, no, fuck. I've got another one to do. Fuck. Okay, boys. Don't worry. Keep your heads down. Heads down and keep painting. That's what you got to do. Soldier on. Something to warm a fancy battle, guys. You're targeting a subset of a subset of a market, then. I agree with that, absolutely. I couldn't agree with Dave more on that. I think the idea that, like, a whole group of amazing human beings left the hobby because of Age Sigmar, and that they'll only return if we deign to give them what they want, is a terrible place to market a product at, and I wouldn't care. They could be honest walker. Yeah. They could be right gamer. Let's go for that. Stormcast on square base is the ultimate trigger. What are you hoping in the next 40k orc release? Oh my god. It's a great question, actually, because the 40k orcs have got like a bit of an identity issue in that like you want them to be this overwhelming melee threat in some ways, because obviously you think orcs, you think green horde, you think punching. But then, you know, they've got the Daka Daka and they've got all that fun stuff. And they're even like maniacal machine makers, you know, like they've the stuff that does quite well with them and people like seeing, obviously, is they've got their new those new cars, which are cool. The WAS Bomb Blaster Jet. All of that stuff is like really fun orc stuff. Like it gives the designers and us like the option for like really weird and wacky technology, which I think is wicked. So I kind of would like to see them go down that. You know, like orc ad mech is quite a fun take, I think, in some ways, and see some like real like trans orc, like transhuman, like kind of like takes where they're like very augmented orcs. I think that that would be a super fun way to see them take it. Like Cyberpunk 2077 orcs. but I don't think that's what they're doing. I think it's all going to be like Savage Orc stuff and more beastie, which means I'd like to see the army like have like an identity for combat, because already the game is full, 40k is full of very, very combat heavy, exceptional combat units, like the Terminators, like Plague Marines, like Blood Angels, Sanguinary Guard, like all of that, like it's super hard for them to like stratify them out as a different army. So maybe a weight of dice army, so they do a load of like actual attacks, but then that's really like fucking boring to play. Like it's going to be really hard push for them to make an army that's scary in combat that isn't that scary versus Terminators. Do you know what I mean? Like it would just be whatever. But I would like to see that. So and then I would like to see like a tanky orc unit, like a Terminator orc equivalent, because they're orcs and they're standing around, and that would be fun to see. And I'd like to see them explore the magic more as well, because the system for the orcs is that they believe something so it works. And I think you could write some super cool rules around that. Not just a spell lore or a psychic tree, but like, you know, like buff ranges where like they believe it's going to be a better, like you'll do some better shooting or something. Not just reroll ones to hit, but whatever. Obviously cheaper stonkers. Cheaper Stompers would be great. But yeah, did you know that Steven Box announced that Vanguard Tactics are now playing testing for Games Workshop? I did not know that, sorry again. That's nice for him and them. That makes loads of sense. It makes sense that they probably get... The most sensible thing for them to ever do is to get all of the people who produce content about their game on their good side with free stuff or as a playtester or whatever the situation. It's the most sensible thing that they can do. And that way, they never hear anything critical put out about their product. Makes loads of sense. Did you know... but, I mean, that's not what's going to happen with this show. So, you guys, depends on how you feel about it. It's either a positive or a negative. Your choice. I'm on the team. No, you're not. WAR makes invulnerable saves shut off. Tristan, there we go. Let's go back to the orcs. I'd make a weird boy with two psychic spells as base. Oh my god, I know. He can cast one. What the fuck? Like, this guy's head can explode. He should have loads of... Three! I'd just go nuts. Loads of orc casting. I want like a war chanter guy, like beating stuff. I want a terrain piece, Nick, I'm sorry. Where you beat a drum and some vehicles like pop out of it. Like, it's orcs. Get weird. Get weird, get wonderful, go big. That's what I'd like to see. The orc range is maybe like a test for them. Much like the Drukhari book is a test for them. The Drukhari book has a variety of models and a variety of sub... Like, it's at least three books, really, that's subdivided. It's a real test for them as whether or not new 40k, they actually understand how to produce rules well for factions. The Marine book's whatever, it's going to be what it is. And the Necron book, I think they did well with the Death Guard book, and the Necron book, the same again. Pretty much. Some internal parity issues, but not bad. Drukhari book's going to be a real test. They've got a variety of units, and making those viable in the game is going to be fascinating to see how they do, because they play very differently. Homunculus Coven is going to play very differently to Witch Covens. Are they going to make it so that they make sense, so that they work? I think one of the major problems of 40k, or that there was of 40k, is that they don't put the abilities on the war on the data sheets. They've started to do that more and more, but like what I like the stratagems part means that they take away some of the strength and they lock it into stratagems and put them on the units. And it's the quickest and easiest way, like to make the game more interesting, is just have all the abilities on the data sheet, and then you can just change the fucking points of the data sheet. just every successful cast lets you get a high reward. Yes, that's good. I just want a weird boy model that isn't fine cast. Also agree with that. Yeah, you should be... just stick a rule on the chance that the miscast increases with each additional cast. Yeah, I like that. I want more than two units of Pirate Orcs faction. Agreed. Pirate Orcs, we're in on that. Are they coming out with new Dark Elder models besides Lilith? I'm not sure. Maybe, but we'll see. Chikari will be a hard because the intro obviously seem too bad at finesse armies, broken in the hands of good players, unless useless for everyone else. I agree with Tommy Butters. For a viral video for Orcs, they should have Ken Block or some professional racer driving a shit box dressed up as an Orc vehicle at stupidly high speeds. They should. With a mechanic who's the Orc. And like he's like, will this even work? And the Orc's like, yeah, it'll work. Yeah? Just trust it. Bang, bang. Then he like puts the foot down and just fucking goes. Looted tanks to actually have points. Yeah, you could do that. Looted tanks would be hard. It'd be interesting, though, wouldn't it, with looted tanks? You just take the price of the vehicle as it is, you include it in the Orc army, and it's got a ballistic skill of 5. It's interesting, right? That would be a super useful way to do it. Right, okay, I'm running out of steam now, boys. So I'm going to go, and ladies, of course, and everyone else. And everyone else, all the hip-hoppers. Right, but I'm going to go for the day. So it's been a pleasure talking to you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate it loads. Don't forget to join us for the 40K show tomorrow night and join me again tomorrow as the painting marathon will continue. There's also Saturday with all the live coverage and Sunday with some live coverage, which is going to be interesting as well. I hope you're all well. Thanks very much for tuning in. Appreciate it loads. Thank you to Dave for donating some cash. Thank you to everyone else for supporting the show. As I said earlier in the show, in whatever format you've done it, even if it's just watching, you're all brilliant people. You're all great. Have a great day. Look after yourself. Stay healthy. Loads and loads of love, and see you soon.